Oh, you hear that music? It can only mean one thing here on the program. That means we are about to be joined by our good friend, Adam Vingan. And we do that now on our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Adam Vingan from The Athletic on the line with us. Adam, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
I'm doing okay. Had to spend last night in a hotel because our HVAC was leaking.
Jeez.
Hopefully it'll be taken care of today, but we had a little staycation last night. Shout out to the Fairfield by Vanderbilt. Very cozy.
That's good.
Are you stowing away on a train right now? You have like a little knapsack on a stick? Doesn't it sound like a train?
I don't know what's going on.
I'm in the car.
Oh, okay. But, it just sounded like I heard like train tracks. Sorry.
Well, I haven't crossed any train tracks right now.
That's
at
good.
Least not yet.
Well, that's good. Adam, we appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. Hopefully your HVAC situation is cured as quickly as possible.
Yeah, perfect timing.
That's
not
right.
Not like it's like the hottest it's ever been in the history of existence.
That's right. So, Adam, let's start with the news yesterday of the Stadium Series game coming to Nashville, Nissan Stadium. Predators hosting the Lightning on February 26th, 2022. Your reaction to the Predators landing a game like this? What does this mean for the team? What does this mean for the city? And what do you anticipate the environment being like at Nissan Stadium when this game between the Lightning and the Predators takes place?
Well, it's very exciting. Certainly since the Predators did a fabulous job of hosting the 2016 NHL All-Star Game, every time Gary Bettman has been in town for one reason or another, he's always asked, when will Nashville host an outdoor game? And Gary Bettman, you know, being as lawyerly as he is, well, you know, always, you know, doesn't always, you know, kept the option open. Talked about how he wanted Nashville to have an opportunity to host an outdoor game, and certainly the idea of an outdoor game here in Nashville against Tampa would be very exciting. From my perspective, and Joe can speak to this, and Robbie, you can speak to this as well. The sight lines and the press box at Nissan Stadium will be much better than they were at Cotton Bowl Stadium for the Winter Classic. So at least we'll be closer to the ice. But look, it's very exciting. I'm sure Nashville, as it always does, will do a great job of hosting. I'm sure the Predators will go all out and making it an incredible environment, as they often do. So I'm looking forward to it. It'll be a lot of fun. February seems so far away, but the summer's already flying by. It's almost July, so it'll be here before we know it.
Have you had any angry, like, Canes fans react to you in any form? Because it feels like people from that region of the country really are angry at people from our area right now.
Yeah, what did people from Nashville do to people from Raleigh recently? I'm not sure what's going on there. I'm kidding, of course. I read, actually... Don Waddell, the GM of the Carolina Hurricanes, put out a statement yesterday in which he said that, you know, the Hurricanes made the decision to postpone their outdoor game until not next season but the season after, where hopefully things will be back to normal even more so, and there won't be any sort of restrictions that need to be in place at Carter-Finley Stadium where the game was supposed to be held. I believe the Hurricanes were supposed to play the Capitals at that game at the NC State football stadium. So I have not heard from angry Canes fans, though I know there are plenty of people from the Triangle area that are mad specifically at you, Joe, because, you know, you're the face of Vanderbilt.
That's right.
That's right. I hate their team, yes. And actually, though, but you probably butt heads with those people a lot because, as you know, almost everybody who lives in that state actually does hate Duke. It's all the kids from New Jersey who love Duke, who go to Duke.
I remember a couple of years ago when the Predators were playing the Hurricanes, I believe on a Sunday afternoon, and the day before I flew into Raleigh, and Duke was playing that day. They were playing Florida State at Florida State, and that was the game where Cam Reddish hit the game-winning three at the buzzer to beat Florida State, and I was watching the game at the hotel bar And I think I was the only person that was happy at the bar when Cameron had hit that shot, despite being, what, 30 minutes away from campus. So
that sounds about right.
I know all too well.
Sounds about right. Adam Vigan from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Adam, the Stanley Cup Final underway. Tampa Bay wins in Game 1, and it's been awesome to watch Shea Weber to be able to play up until this point and to get to this point. An uphill battle for the Canadiens now, down 1-0 to Tampa Bay. How do you see the rest of this series playing out? How difficult of a climb is this going to be for Montreal to get this done against the defending Stanley Cup champions?
Well, it's good to know that Shea Weber hasn't lost that game face when they were introducing starting lineup last night.
It was unbelievable. He stared a hole through my television.
Intense as ever, and I enjoyed, you know, his press conference with Carey Price on Media Day. You know, again, Shea Weber, never one to go down the big picture road when it comes to answering questions. Some things never change. Today, by the way, the 5-year anniversary of the Shea Weber PK Subban trade. I'm sure you've already discussed that.
It's hard to believe.
Those who weren't aware, I know you were at Five Guys, Robbie, eating your burger.
I was.
When that went down. But anyway, the game last night was good for two periods. But then Tampa imposed its will in the third period. And look, I think what the Canadiens have done in this postseason has been great. You know, it reminds me a lot of what the Predators did 4 years ago. But I have this strange feeling in the pit of my stomach that this Stanley Cup final might be over sooner rather than later, especially if Tampa can do what it did in the third period last night. You know, they scored a power play goal late in the game. You know, the Canadiens, I believe, entering the Stanley Cup final had scored more shorthanded goals than they had allowed power play goals. And I don't think they had allowed a shorthanded goal since the first round against the Maple Leafs. And we know how deadly the Lightning's power play is. So if the Canadiens can't, you know, be as incredible on the penalty kill as they've been in the first three rounds, you know, this series could be over very quickly. So, you know, I expect the Canadiens to win at least one game in this series. But if you were to tell me Tampa wins in five, I wouldn't be shocked.
All right, let's talk local professional hockey team, Adam. You had another very compelling fan survey, good participation. Most of the answers didn't surprise me a ton. It seemed like you were a little bit confused by the whole, like, David Poile lack of confidence, but David Poile can't fire him. But I was blown away by this, like, no, we don't want an owner who, like, actually – or like someone from the ownership group who actually speaks on behalf of the team ever. I don't get it. What am I missing? Is it just the people in fear of like some Jerry Jones thing? I don't understand.
Yeah, that was very confusing to me too, especially considering in the early part of the season when the Predators were struggling, all I heard was, why isn't ownership talking about this? Ownership needs to speak. And as you know, I made an attempt to speak to ownership, and Sean Henry spoke on the group's behalf. You know, Sean and David Poile are the public faces of the front office. That is their that's the organization's decision. But I guess that might have something to do with it, Joe. Like this idea that when we think of visible owners, we think of Jerry Jones. And I'm trying to think of some, we think of like Eugene Melnick in Ottawa.
Yeah.
We think of, you know, we think of bad owners who seem to put their hands, you know, in too many things versus being hands off. But especially at this time of the Predators, you know, at this point of the Predators, I don't know what you want to call it, trajectory, I do think it would be good to have an owner who speaks directly to fans because, you know, I remember asking David Poile, you know, at some point early in the season, how does ownership feel about the direction of the team? And he said, well, that's not something I could answer. You'd have to ask ownership about that. Well, I tried, and they didn't want to talk. So, you know, there's only so much you can get out of David and Sean when it comes to the direction of the franchise. I mean, I think, you know, having, you know, Herb Fritch, who is the chairman of the ownership group, be more accessible to fans would be beneficial to them. Perhaps it was the wording of the question. The way I phrased the question was, would the Predators benefit from having a more visible owner that spoke directly to fans? Maybe, and it's sort of the same thing with the David Poile question you referenced, Joe. The question I asked was, should David Poile have been removed as GM? And I think a lot of people who said no felt that because David has been, you know, such an ambassador for the organization, that he deserved to go out on his terms versus being removed, fired. But it did kind of confuse me considering how many people over the course of the season expressed anger toward David, but voted against having him removed.
Adam, last thing for you here. Elliot Friedman came out yesterday with his 31 Thoughts piece that he does for Sportsnet, and in that piece talked about a name that he's hearing is Nashville's Victor Arvidsson, who has 3 years left at $4.25 million, potentially being a trade candidate. What do you think of that? What do you think of the idea of the Predators exploring a trade with Victor Arvidsson this offseason? And if that's a route that the Predators go, what do you think they could get back for a player like Victor Arvidsson?
Well, I think it's a good idea, personally. And, you know, I've been writing things to that effect since the season ended. We all believe that this core group has reached its expiration date. You could argue that it reached its expiration date last year or even 2 years ago. But, you know, Victor Arvidsson, I believe his best days are behind him. I don't see him returning to the 34-goal player that he was a couple of years ago. Clearly, his speed has been zapped, perhaps as a result of the injuries that he has sustained in recent seasons. You know, I did some research early in the season about, you know, his scoring off the rush. Not only is he not scoring off the rush, he's creating far fewer chances off the rush. So it's not like he's still producing rush scoring chances and not scoring. He's not even producing the chances. And that's what made him so successful. So considering the trade values of the other players in the core, which I don't think are very high, I think Victor Arvidsson is a player that could realistically, you know, be of interest to other teams. His cap hit is not prohibitive. I believe he has 3 years left on the deal, which isn't great, but manageable.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know what you're looking for. I mean, I don't know what you could be looking for Victor Arvidsson. You know, perhaps a mid-level prospect, a mid-round draft pick. It's not going to be, you know, a trade that nets you a top six forward. So, you know, perhaps the Predators could get for Arvidsson what they might have gotten for someone like Granlund at the trade deadline had they gone down that road. You know, I think that's sort of a futures deal. Personally, I think the value of trading Arvidsson is getting something for him, making your expansion draft decision less complicated, and demonstrating to the fan base that what's been going on the past couple of years is unacceptable by shaking up the core.
Adam Vingan from The Athletic has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Adam, great stuff as always, brother. Appreciate you taking time on short notice to join us this morning.
All right. Well, I'll be here waiting for the HVAC man.
That's right.
I didn't have anything else to do.
That's right.
Oh, good luck.
Good luck on that front. Adam Vingan from The Athletic, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. When we come back, we'll react a little bit to what Adam had to say. Take your thoughts as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.